Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All praise, all glory, all honor being to you, Abba Yah, and your son, Yahushua HaMashiach. We thank you, Abba, for the blessing of life, health, and strength, for the blessing of this day, Father, this beautiful day, that little bit of snow out there, and the sun is shining off the snow as it's melting it, and it just looks beautiful outside, Abba Yah. We thank you for that, Father. It's also windy. I like windy days. But Father, look down upon your children, your creation, your sons, your daughters with mercy, Father. Forgive us for the sins that we have committed against you, Abba, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, and for taking for granted the blessings, the multitude of blessings that you have given us, Father, beyond life, beyond health, beyond strength, Father. We also thank you for the struggles, Father. We thank you for the challenges, Father, because those challenges, Father, help us to know and understand how much you are with us. As your word says, you never leave us nor forsake us, Father. But oftentimes in our mind, Father, we feel like you're distant. We feel like you're far away, Father. We feel like your voice is faint, Father. But no, Father, you are always, as it says in your word, a mighty one, close at hand, Father. You are never too far away to stretch forth your hand and reach down for us, Father, and lift us up out of any situation we may find ourselves in, Father, because you are loving, you are kind, you are merciful. You have nothing but love for your children. You have nothing but love for your creation, Father. And Father, we just thank you, Father. I thank you for all my brothers, my sisters, my Zakanes, my Zakanas, Father, the whole family of Beth Yahweh, the universal house of Beth Yahweh, as well as this little camp here in Baltimore, Maryland, Father. And just ask, Father, that you continue to hedge us up, that you continue to lead us, you continue to guide us, Father, and that, Father, whenever we go to the left or to the right. It's a good shepherd that you are, Father, that you will use your shepherd staff to put us back on the right path, Father. And once again, Father, we just thank you, Father, for everything that you have done for us, Father. I thank you for the help of Ema, the help of our Zakanes, their wives, Father, for bringing us through all these storms, Father, that you have allowed us to be in the midst of, Father. These things, Father, I ask you in your son's name, our Rebbe, our Melech, your son, our Savior, our Redeemer, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Baruch atah Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the Universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Once again, it's your brother, Ahab, all. Kol Elohim, Blog Talk Radio. And this is study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is the sixth week that I have spent with you all. This is my final lesson for this sixth week. And Abba willing, our brother Deuel will be bringing forth the message next week as well as later on today. So I pray that Abba's spirit lead and guide him. And I just pray that you all have received something throughout these 6 weeks in which I have been blessed and privileged to talk with you all about my struggles, my ups, my downs, my in-betweens. And, you know, one of the things that learned from example from Gershom McDaniel is always, you know, to let your life be an open book. And he was never ashamed of the things that he experienced in life, you know, whether good, whether bad, in between. he was always willing to share and be very candid, you know, his experiences. And I think he set that example for all of us who were touched by him to be open, be honest, you know, whether you're up, whether you're down, whether you're in between, you know, my brother shared last night, you know, oftentimes we think confession, you know, oh, Father, I've sinned, you know, is made unto salvation. No, it didn't say confess your sins is going to make you, lead you unto salvation. It means talk about what you're going through. Share what you're going through. Release yourself of those emotional, mental, and those emotional and mental burdens, those spiritual burdens we carry with us, they affect our physical being. The number one killer among people, heart disease, is not always caused by a bad diet. Sure, that's a tremendous contributor to it, but there's also stress. Because you see a lot of seemingly healthy-looking people on the outside, you know, look athletic, slim, trim, have blood pressures that are off the chart. And sure, some of it is contributed to diet, but there was one, matter of fact, high-profile celebrity trainer who had a heart attack in the middle of the gym while working out. So it's not always about those health factors per se, physical health, but sometimes, and you know, when they talk to him, you talk about I was under a lot of pressure, had a lot of stress going on. When they talked to him, it wasn't about him not eating right, him not being fit. It was about the stress and the pressures of life that he was keeping inside that was eating him up, not accepting sometimes situations that you're placed into. You know, one of the biggest books in the scriptures is the book of Job. And I'm reading through some of it, you know, preparing for the lesson as well as, you know, just reading the scriptures. And there's so many times Job said, why was I born? Why did you make me? Had it not been that the womb would have been my grave. This is Job saying this. Several times he said this. Not just one. This several times Job was like, why the heck did you make me? Why you allow me to go through all of this? What is the point of me going through all this? I just don't understand it. As we often do in the midst of struggles. But you know what else the scriptures also say? Don't dwell on your past sins. That's the wonderful thing about forgiveness. And that's, again, two of the most powerful words that I ever heard from one of my brothers. And I will always say this, told out my brother Deuel for being that strong wall. Forgive yourself. You cannot commit a future sin. You cannot. Because once you get to a situation, then you sin and then it's in your past. But you cannot commit a future sin. And think for a moment, some of the greatest sins we have witnessed in the scriptures, and bring it up to today. And I'm going to speak on one in particular, Brother Dawid, King David, one of my personal favorite people in all the scriptures. I'm a King David groupie, right? Imagine now for 1 second what he did had taken place in modern times. Oh, for sure he'd have been canceled. Because we see situations that have taken place, right, in our modern times. I think there was a high-profile case where a man killed his family, or other high-profile cases where a man may have killed or a woman may have killed somebody because they wanted to be with somebody else. They wanted to get that person out of the way. But that's what David did. David had somebody set up. He signed off on the murder of a man. So he, because of how much he lusted after this man's wife. Let that marinate for a second. Imagine any brother or person that you know. Brother Beth Yahweh did something like that. Lusted after some woman so bad that he set up a contract to have that person killed. How would you look at that person? Let's say it was a harbor, Yahweh forbid, right? How would y'all look at me afterwards? What would y'all say between one another? How would you feel about the situation if it was your brother, a harbor, that did that? Shock, shame, embarrassment, disbelief, maybe. Or some might say, I knew he had it in him all along. Right? But just imagine that for 1 second. But that's what David did. But we also see David go through the course of being judged by the prophet for his actions, then being punished for his actions by losing that baby that Abba allowed to be conceived, go through the process of growing within Bathsheba's belly, then being born. David had to experience it. And we remember the story. He mourned. He begged Yahweh, don't do that. Please don't put the sin on my baby, on the baby. Baby didn't do it. And so David mourned for it. But after the time of mourning was over, so he got up, had to get back to business. He got a kingdom to run. He got business dealings he had to take care of. And then, by course of time, Abba forgave him, let it go. He punished him. But it didn't just end there, because he said, you're going to have problems, major problems. It ain't going to stop there for you. But guess what David still had to do throughout all this? He still had to conduct the business of running a kingdom. Wars, even a war that his own son brought up against him. He had to be ready for that, abdicate the throne. He couldn't step down, but even if we see throughout the Psalms that when these problems arose, he was distressed by it. It wasn't like his life was happy-go-lucky afterwards, but he was still the anointed and the beloved. One of the apples of the Creator's eye. But his past was his past. And it wasn't that David caused 30,000 people to die in the nation of Israel just because he got beside himself and decided to want to take a census. Well, like he didn't mess up time and time and time and time again. He goofed up. But that didn't make him any less the warrior king that he was. It didn't make him any less the beloved son of Yahweh. It didn't make him any less the man after Yahweh's own heart, as the word describes him. But what could separate us from the love of Yahweh? What could? What could you possibly do? Look at Shaul. Shaul was the chief murderer of those who believed in Yahushua HaMashiach. That was his job. He was commissioned to go out there and snuff, under the orders of Gamaliel, to go and snuff the name of Yahushua out, to go out and snuff every single light that was lit in the name of Yahushua. But guess what Yahweh did? He turned around and used that man to convert souls off. So for every soul he offed, he equally gained 2 souls, 4 souls, 8 souls, 1,000 souls plus. And still through the words and the letters that Yahweh led him to write, he's still gaining. So every time we read Galatians, Ephesians, Romans, Corinthians, Philippians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and all the letters, Philemon, which my brother said, the first First part of the is him saying hi. The last part of the book is him saying bye. There's a couple of sentences in between about, yo, y'all except for Lamar. He amassed so many souls, and is still, think about every time we read his books, and he influences us, and he edifies us, and he guides us through the words that he wrote thousands of years before we came on the scene. He is still acquiring, Yahweh still using him to acquire souls for him. So again, whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing that is eating at your soul, forget yourself for it. Let the past go. All have sinned. You ain't unique. You ain't special. The scripture said all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yah, save one. All we can do is try to emulate him. All we can do is try to be the light to the world that Rabbi Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach has asked us to be. But beyond that, let it go. I'm a sinner. You a sinner. We a sinner. We all sinners. What makes you being a sinner any more special than anybody else being a sinner? Nothing. Except what you want to hold on to in your head. But again, forgive yourself. Yahweh's already forgiven you. The day you ask him for forgiveness, he's like, okay. Go and sin no more. Don't commit that sin again. But guess what? There's plenty of sins that we could commit. And there's plenty of sins that we do commit. But for some reason, certain things just want to just plague our mind. You know why? See, Hasatan, the first and chief of goofer uppers, knows there's no forgiveness for him. So he wants to plague us with that mindset. Remember what we learned in the book of Levi. That he said, what we learned in the book of Revelation. See, we war not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers of darkness in high places. And remember what we read in the book of Revelation. He is flooding the airwaves, flooding. And see, we don't know what all this stuff does to our mind. See, we think, oh, we got old cell phone, we got Wi-Fi, we got 5G. We don't realize how much these signals, these invisible waves affect us because we keep mulling over things. I have a friend, a dear person in my life, who's experiencing some issue right now, right? But instead of doing the sensical thing, because now it's all on social media, what this person's experiencing, right? And they had to be admonished, yo, stay off of social media. If every time you turn on a Facebook or whatever, Instagram, and you see this situation that is plaguing you, turn it off. Get off of it. Let it go. If he's going to keep reminding you, keep you stuck on the hamster wheel of your mental state, put it down. Because, see, that's the tool that the adversary is going to use time and time again to mess with you. And again, back to the example of Job. Yahweh could have easily told Satan, yo, back off of him, man. It's too much. He could have told him that the same way he sent him out there. But he knew Job enough. He saw into Job deep enough to know eventually he's going to get it. But I got to allow him to go through this. I got to squeeze all of this, you know, like when you got a pimple, you ever watch Dr. Pimple Popper? And you got one of them big ones that got all them guts in it, and it takes some effort. You got to keep pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, squeezing till all that infection comes out. See, sometimes we don't realize our spirit and our minds and our souls are infected. Not just with sin. My brother stated last night, ugly experiences, ugly thoughts, ugly circumstances. But again, as was stated, how often when we're going through these things, do we seek out support? Fine, you don't want to talk to any of the Morays? That's cool. Talk to somebody. You don't want to share? You don't want to get deep? You don't want to get personal? You don't want to get naked? Fine. Go to some complete stranger that will absolutely help you then. It's like that pagan ritual they have, I think, in one of them countries where they take the chains and just keep whipping themselves on the back, whipping themselves on the back, whipping themselves. Why keep whipping yourself? What is the point? What is this? Why be your own sadomasochist? Why are you getting enjoyment out of punishing yourself when the word of God says, look, let it go. Somebody did you wrong. She did you wrong. He did you wrong. They did you wrong. We did you wrong. The more you keep yourself locked in, it's like going into the prison cell. You got the key to let yourself in and out. You go, you slide the door, you slide your hand around, lock the key, break it off, and you lock yourself in there. At some point, you got to let go. At some point, you got to get out the muck, the mud, the mire. Abba don't want you there. He doesn't. He doesn't want you there. His hand will always be right there at the edge saying, come to me if you want to live. Come to me if you want better. Come to me when you're ready to stop. But if you still want a backstroke, breaststroke, whatever stroke you want to do. And then he'll be like, all right, when you get tired enough, I'll be right here waiting. But Abba knows you best. Nobody knows you better than Abba. No, like my brother said last night, was said the week before, the heart is deceitful above all things. That's the first thing. It's deceitful. It's a deceiver. I don't care what you say. You don't know yourself. You don't. You never will. You cannot. Isn't that crazy? You live with yourself, but you will never, ever know yourself. Sure, there's certain things on the surface you may know, but you don't know what's deep down inside. You don't know what you're capable of. Only Abba knows. Stop lying to yourself. So I can hear, I know myself really well. See what I mean? The heart is deceitful above all things. I know me. The heart is deceitful above all things. The moment you say that, you just deceived yourself. I know myself pretty well. I've been living with myself all this time. Okay. Keep telling yourself that, and then Yahweh going to show you different. Because the first thing you should say was, Abba, you know me better than I'll ever know myself. Because you don't. And it says it's desperately wicked. He's talking about you as a believer, me, you, everyone. He's talking about us in our current state. Can you overcome it? Absolutely. But never fool yourself into thinking you know yourself better than Abba Yah did. And we're going to see through the scriptures. The keynote is 139:1. For the chief musician, a psalm by David, Yahweh, You have searched me, and you know me. You going to dispute the word of God? Remember this. It's one of my favorite adages. Your arms are too short to box with God. He has told us in his word, every hair on your head is counted. Right? And we also heard in the word, it was he who made us and formed us in the womb. Even with this big old landing strip in the top of my head, I ain't going to sit there and try to count every one of my hairs. But guess who already knows? Yahushua. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Do we ever, at any point, how often do you associate yourself with the magnificence of his creation? How often do you do that? Because it says right there, all things, if we believe, all things were made through him. And it says, without him was not anything made that was made. The stars, the sun, the moon, all of this majesty, the great oak tree, the small blade of grass, the bee, all the things were created by. But how many times in your marveling of creation do you ever look in the mirror and say, I am a marvel of his creation. I actually am the pinnacle of his magnificence because I am made in his image and after his likeness. How often do you ever do that? And not that you get prideful with, but how often do you look at yourself and say, wow, I reflect the magnificence, the pinnacle of his creation. Despite my circumstances, despite my flaws, despite I am made in his image and after his likeness. How often do you ever do that? But the same mighty one that made the great mountains, the unfathomable oceans, which depth man will never be able to discover, he's done that. He's created you. Let's read that. Let's take a gander at the Psalms, family. And take these words to heart. Don't, like my brother said, magical thinking. Sometimes use some magical thinking. And not in the sense of delusions or grandeur, but sometimes absorb the fact that these scriptures, yes, I know the ultimate is about Yahushua, but guess what? When he made Adam, he made something awesome. And out of the life that he gave to Adam, he created Eve. See, because Yah only gave life to one entity, and that was Adam. Then after Adam, he used Adam to give life to Eve. So life starts with Adam, not with Eve, when it comes to the flesh. Yep, that's what the scriptures say. Yahweh breathed life into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Then he put Adam to sleep, and he took that bone out of Adam and then created Eve. That's the scriptures. Then after that, she became the vessel all living things would come through as far as emulating what the earth does. Germinating life. Read it with me, family. I'm reading from the WEB. For the chief musician, a psalm by David. Yahweh, you have searched me and know me. Let's take a look first, because he starts off with that. He searched me. Excuse me, family. And the word in the Hebrew section is 27, Hebrews 27, 13. And the word is chakar, right? And it's from kar, a digging, examine, a digging. So abstractly, a digging. So he's dug into you, right? to search or seek for something, right? A primitive root, properly to penetrate, hence to examine, intimately find out, make, search out, seek out, sound, try. Now that's from the Strong's, right? Now let's go to the BDB, because let's gain a little bit more insight. And when I think of this word, I think of, you remember back in the day when we were in science class and they would tell you, take a cotton swab the side of your cheek, take it, put it on the whatchamacallit glass, and then put the other slide on and slide on the microscope, and you see all of them little cheek cells, right? All the other little organisms and stuff that you swab on that slide if you had that experiments in biology class, right? But what you were doing, you were searching into the unseen things that are made up, that make you up. Those are just your cheek cells, right? It's in your mouth, if you did that in school. If not, then you won't understand the point of reference. But it says to search, search for, search out, examine, investigate. 1A, to search, search for, to search through, explore, to examine thoroughly, to be searched out, to be found, to be ascertained, be examined, to search out, to seek out. This is all what's associated with this word, right? And then when you look at the ancient Hebrew, to search or seek for something, an examination, to search, finding, a deep place as unexamined. So Abba goes into the deep depths of you. He gets into them places you don't even know exist within you. And it says, thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Wait a minute. Before we go any further, family, hold on. Let's look at what it says, what he means when he says, you know me. Hebrews 30:45. We've seen this word before. Sorry. And that word is yada. Right? A primitive root to know properly, to ascertain by seeing, used in a great variety of senses. So let's go to some of what, and that was the Strong's. Let me see if, let's go to some of what the BDB says. So I like the BDB as well as the ancient Hebrew, because it really gives you, it digs into the meaning of it, right? And it says to know, to learn, to know, to perceive and see, find out and discern, discernment, distinguish, to know by experience. So you're living life and you're experiencing life, but Abba is also experiencing life with you. As you're experiencing life with him, guess what he's doing? He's also experiencing life with you, and he's getting to know you. To recognize, admit, acknowledge, confess, to consider, to know, to be acquainted with. And it says to know a person carnally. It means in the flesh. To know how to be skillful. I was learning how to be skillful with you. Think about, see, oftentimes we get so self-centered as men. We focus on me. My wife doesn't focus on me. But he says to the man, deal with her according to knowledge. Yada. Know her. Know her. This is what Paul tells us to do. To know her. The man is charged to know her. You don't think Adam had to spend time getting to know Eve? But now the problem is, Eve, are you submitting unto Adam? Because you didn't in the beginning, you submitted to the serpent. But still, Adam, are you getting to know Eve? And in turn, is Eve submitting to Adam? 1A4, to know how, be skillful, and to have knowledge, be wise, to be made known. See, the same way Abba is taking his time to get wisdom about you, perceive you, to get instructed about who you are, what makes you tick, the same way you in turn are supposed to do the same. The Messiah, the husband, the wife. But so many times we want to flip the order and say, Abba, my wife, then me. No, she ain't commissioned to know you, but she is commissioned to submit to you. You are commissioned to know her. Don't be mad at me. That's what the word says. But see, the same way, if you are submitting, and see, here's the thing. We want submission without being submissive. And I'm not talking about being submissive to her, being submissive to the Almighty, because that's the order. You submit to the Almighty, guess what? You will in turn get submission. But if you are constantly in a state of and tricking yourself into thinking you are not an ODD type towards Yahweh, but you want Yahweh to put everything in place and make everything perfect for you, ask yourself this: have you fully submitted to Yahweh the way you want your wife to submit to you? I'm quite sure your answer is going to be no. So now why expect? Because that's the order. That's the divine order. You submit to Yahweh. And then all those under you will submit to you. That's the order. But anytime you as the male, the man, the headship, you are out of order, guess what? Expect disorder. That's the order of things. Back to, thou knowest my down, back to 139:2. Thou knowest my dancing and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be reading from the W.E.B. Forgive me, family. Back to W.E.B. We'll start over. 139:1. For the chief musician, a psalm by David. Yahweh, you have searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, Yahweh, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before. You laid your right hand on me. This knowledge is beyond me. It's lofty. I can't attain it. Where could I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and settle in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, the light around me will be night. Even the darkness doesn't hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness is like light unto you. What he's saying to you, as an old friend of mine used to tell me, Sean, what's done in the dark shall come to the light. You could do all what you think is in darkness under the cover of it's still, when you're his, he always going to see your light. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you go, he's always going to see the light that he placed within you. It cannot be hidden in the darkness. It can't. That's why he says your own sins will find you out. Because if you his and he anointed you and he gave you his light, that light goes with you wherever you go. It never leaves. It can't be snuffed out. It's not your light. It's his light. Even the darkness doesn't hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness is like light to you. For you formed my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's. Just think about it. There was a show. I can't remember the name of the show now. But in the beginning, in the intro, it showed how it was Westworld. If you ever saw the intro to Westworld, it shows how all the things that they were making in this AI reality world, they were stringing together. But that's what Yahweh did. Every cell, every molecule, every proton, every neutron, he placed together to create the you. And what's the first organ that's created in the body to be fully formed? A beating heart. He created the heart in you first. Why is that? Before the brain, before the intestine, before the liver, before the kidneys, before the lungs. The lungs are the fat, the last, the one that actually puts the oxygen in and out your body are the last to be fed. Don't believe me, go to a NICU, a neonatal intensive care unit, and watch how many preemies are hooked up to breathing machines, because that is the last thing to fully develop in the human body. Why? And that's one of the most essentials besides. It's called the cardiovascular system, cardiopulmonary system. Why? Because the lungs feed to the heart. Stop breathing, and the heart is going to lose oxygen. They all work hand in hand. But one is the first to be formed, and one is the absolute last to be fully formed. And why is that? For you formed, 139:13, for you formed my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. My soul knows that very well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in secret, woven together in the depths of the earth. And he ain't talking about secret as mommy and daddy secret. He's talking about a place where you are made prior to even being here. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in secret, woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my body. In your book, they were all written. What book? See, I told you, Abba keeps a diary. He keeps a manuscript of you. Oh, Abba, I learned something new about you today. Oh, you got a proclivity towards this? Ooh, okay. Got you. That's not a good thing. So I got to find a way to get that up out of you. He said, your eyes saw my body in your book. And he's specifically talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. His own personal ledger of everyone who he has personally made for his perfect will and purpose. In your book, they were all written. You think you're here by chance? He's letting you... Your eyes saw my body. In your book, they were all written. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. So listen to what he's saying. Before you were even born, he had things written out. He had a plan for you. Because you were designated as his own. He ain't do this for everybody, Beth Yahweh. He ain't do this for everybody, Beth Yahweh. He didn't do this for everybody, Beth Yahweh. Your eyes saw my body. In your book, they were all written, the days that were ordained for me. And he's talking about your beginning date and your end date that he ordained for you. Remember what we learned from Gershom Ben Daniel? The dash. When as yet there were none of them, before your days came, before you cracked the matrix. You came through your mother's womb. You came out of her belly. You came from between her thighs. And before you went, he brought you here for a purpose. How precious, 139:17, how precious to me are your thoughts, Yah? How vast is their sum? And he's talking about his thoughts towards him. 18, if I would count them, they are more in number than the sand. Excuse me. When I wake up, I'm still with you. If only you, Elohim, would kill the wicked. Get away from me, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Yahweh, don't I hate those who hate you? See, he's having a moment now. He's having that epiphany now. He's coming to that realization now. Whose side he was called to be on. Yahweh, don't I hate those who hate you? Am I not grieved with those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, Elohim, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's his declaration towards the end. After he's come to the realization of all that Yah has seen within him. Job 10:11 reads, "You have clothed me with the skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinew." Galatians 1:15, we ain't going to be long. "But when it was the good pleasure of Elohim who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace." Luke 12:7, "But the very hairs of your head are all counted. Therefore, don't be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows." Matthew 10:29, "Aren't two sparrows sold for an Assyrian coin? Not one of them falls on the ground apart from your father's will." Do you understand that? Let me read it again. "Aren't two sparrows sold for an Assyrian coin? Not one of them falls on the ground," talking about the sparrow, "apart from your father's will." Sometimes it is Abba's will for the bird to be captured and to be given up to the captor for food. Sometimes it's going to happen. That's the will of the Father. But what he's telling you, even though it happens to creation, you are far more valuable than other aspects of my creation. And he reads, and it reads, Matthew 10:29, "Aren't two sparrows sold for an Assyrian coin? Not one of them falls on the ground apart from your father's will." 10:30, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore," 10:31, "don't be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows." Psalms 22:9, "But you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust while at my mother's breast. I was thrown on you from my mother's womb. You are my mighty one. My mother bore me." And yes, I know it's Psalm 22. And yes, I know it's talking about Yahushua. There's also a disorder called dissociative something, where you dissociate yourself from everything. No, associate yourself with this as well. "But you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust while at my mother's breast. I was thrown on you from my mother's womb. You are my Elohim since my mother bore me. Don't be far from me, for trouble is near, for there is no one to help. I have relied on you." Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading them all together. That's the way they were supposed. I wanted to read them together, but this is a whole different psalm. This is Psalm 71:6, but it all kind of flows together, right? So that was Psalm 22:11. "Don't be far from me, for trouble is near, for there is no one to help." Psalm 71:6 reads, "I have relied on you from the womb. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. I will always praise you. I am a marvel to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth shall be filled with your praise and with your honor all day long. Don't reject me in my old age. Don't forsake me when my strength fails." Psalms 127:3, one of my favorite psalms to sing. "Behold, children are a heritage of Yahweh. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." He's talking about Yahweh. Happy is Yahweh that has his quiver full of men, full of them. "They won't be disappointed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Isaiah 49:1-2. "Listen, islands, to me. Listen, you peoples from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the inside of my mother, he has mentioned my name." Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Or are you going to resist it? Which one is it? Because bitter and sweet waters can't dwell in the same vessel. You can't be hot or cold in this situation. Which one is it? You're either going to believe it, receive it, accept it, and walk in it, or you're not. The choice is yours. What are you choosing? What are you choosing? Because accepting Yahweh's forgiveness and grace and mercy and love is a choice. And not accepting Yahweh's love, forgiveness, and grace is also a choice. It's what are you choosing to do? Back to 49.1. Listen, islands. I'm reading 49.1 and 2. Isaiah. Listen, islands, to me. Listen, you peoples from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. This declaration, the man is inside of my mother. He has mentioned my name. 49.2. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. He has hidden me in the shadow of his hand. He has made me a polished shaft. He has kept me close to his quiver. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Do you? And just don't disassociate yourself from being a prophet or a prophetess. He said, what is the testimony of prophet? What is the spirit of prophecy? The testimony of Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. Now, that doesn't mean you go out there, I'm prophet this, I'm prophet this, I'm prophet this, I'm prophet. No, he has special men that, yes, he is commissioned to carry particular messages. He didn't say that makes you prophet. He said the testimony, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. And why is that? Because salvation is surely to come. Salvation has already come to you if you accept it and receive it, and it will surely come to the rest of the world once he cracks the sky and he comes to take his rightful place on earth as he has already done in the heavens. Before, back to Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Sirach 49:7. For they entreated him, it's talking about Jeremiah, which entreated him evil, and yet he was sanctified in the womb to be a prophet, to root out and to afflict and to destroy, and in like manner to build and to plant. See, we are all called to do just as Jeremiah does, as all the prophets have done. We are called to do similar things. Last three scriptures. Sirach 50:22. And now bless you, the Elohim of all, which everywhere does great things, which exalts our days from the womb, and deals with us according to his mercy. May he grant us joyfulness of heart, and that peace may be in our days in Yisrael for the days of eternity, to entrust his mercy with us, and let him deliver us in his time. And that's it, family. Ain't going to be no long lesson today. Short, simple message. Hopefully you received it. Hopefully all the messages that have gone out in the last couple of weeks, as my brother mentioned last night, for quite some time now, Beth Yahweh is receiving him. All these messages that are going out, they're for your benefit, for ours as well, as the deliverers, the chosen vessels, to dispense, as my brother say, dispensing of the word. But at the end of the day, you know, family, again, he wants us to get right. He needs us to get right. And not need us in the sense of he can't do it without us. Oh, he most certainly will. Yahushua told him, y'all want to sanctify me? I'll raise up these rocks. I'll show y'all right now. Y'all don't want to yield? Okay, I got rocks. I could take these inanimate objects. And they will definitely bow down. He said in the scriptures, one day the trees will stand and clap hands. I ain't no trees had hands. They got branches. But you know what? We serve a God of miracles. And if he wants them to have hands, they will have hands. And guess what? If we don't clap, they're going to clap. If we won't praise, they're going to praise. If we want to be obstinate, they'll be obedient. And they'll get your place if you want to be replaced. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the universe, rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous, Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, Almighty One, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin, unfulfilled. For you, Almighty One, trustworthy and compassionate King. Baruch atah Yahushua, Almighty One, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen, amen, amen. Abba, help us. Just help us, Abba. We need your help. We need your spirit. We need your strength. We need your guidance. We need your deliverance. We need you to rescue us, Abba, sometimes from ourselves. Save us from ourselves, Abba. Help us. Help us, Father. As the word says, search us to find any way that is unlike you, Father, and purge us with hyssop, Father, so that we could be clean, Father. Sprinkle clean water on us, Father. Father, so that we could be worthy as we go into the time of the Pesach, Father. One of the most important days, Father. But it is a remembrance of what your son has done for us in delivering us and redeeming us from the hands of your adversary and our adversary. Father, continue to hedge us up, Father. Father, if we go to the left or the right, Father, please, with your shepherd's staff, put us back on the right track, Father. Any evil that comes up against us, Father, be our protector, Father. And Father, when it gets too hot in the battle, Father, help us to understand there's no shame in retreat into your high tower, Father. Father, help us to bring all these evil thoughts and evil ways into captivity and subjection, Father. Father, I pray for my brother Deuel, who is coming up with the lessons, Father, that you keep the adversary at bay, Father. He shared with me some of the things he's been experiencing, Father. I pray, Father, that up until when it's time for him to bring forth your word and beyond, Father, that you hedge him up until you can get him out of the situation that he is in, my Father. I pray for all my brothers and sisters, Father. We thank you, Father, for the lessons, Father. We thank you for all that you have done for us, Father, the good, the bad, and the challenging that you may allow, Father, and all in between, Father. Everyone that is here today listening, Father, you have protected them throughout the week, but throughout their comings and their goings, Father. And I ask that until next Shabbat, you continue to protect us while we go out and we come back in, Father. Protect our households. Protect those, Father, whose lives we come across on a daily basis, Father. Our managers, supervisors, our colleagues and co-workers, Father. All who at times, Father, you use in various ways, Father, to help us learn lessons. For me personally, I want to thank you for Brother James, who sits with us every day that he's at work. And is always listening and is always espousing, Father, the things that he has gleaned, Father. Pray for him. He brings us joy every day that we're sitting at the table. Also for Sister Lisa, who's always in earshot. I pray for her, Abba Yah. I pray for all. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for officially allowing a year to come through, Father. You, boy, you are some. You are mighty one, Father. Thank you for all my Zakanes, my Zakanas, my Ema, my brothers, my sisters, their children, Father. I ask that you heal marriages, Father. That you soften hardened hearts, Father. That you keep families, you bring families and keep families together, Father. I pray for all those who lift up their hands to you, Father. I pray for my brothers and sisters that are couples, whether their spouse be in the faith or out of the faith, Father. Because we know those that are out of the faith are sanctified by those that are in the faith, Father. That you strengthen their marriages. You strengthen all these marriages, Father. Father, in your word it says you hate divorce. You hate it. Not something you want. You said what Yah has brought together, let no man draw us under, Father. But at the end of the day, Father, we know that you can only do so much, Father. We have to put in our work too, Father. So for those who are putting in the work, Father, reward them. For those who have not given up hope, reward them. For those who need peace, grant them peace, Father. Grant them love and grant them happiness. I pray for all my brothers and sisters that are in Delaware, in Georgia, wherever they are, Father. Pray for all of them. Pennsylvania, Alaska, wherever they tune in from. Whether it be overseas or not, Father. Until we can all be together, Father, under your banner, under your arms, and under your wings. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom.
Gadol Yahweh. U meholal meod. Ba'ir Eloheinu har kadasho. Yife nof meshoshchal haaretz. Hatzion yakelti. Safon Kiryat Melech Rav. Elohim Be'ar Menoteha Noda Le Mishkav.
Greatly to be praised.